Congressman David Price of North Carolina is the ranking member of the House Appropriations Homeland Security Subcommittee, and asking some pretty pointed questions at an appropriations hearing about Customs and Border Protection. Congressman, thank you for joining me. You pointed out the personnel costs that CBP has to look forward to and how they can potentially crowd out IT development and the implementation of the agency's mission in the future. How would you like to see CBP balance those issues, sir?
It's partly a question of how CBP is going to find balance with these personnel costs increasing so much relative to their overall budget. It's also a matter of how much funding Congress is going to provide, though, I must say, because a lot of this is a congressional mandate. Most of it is. Congress mandated that CBP maintain 21,370 Border Patrol agents. And in this year's bill, we added another 2,000 Customs and Border Protection officers. And so the cost of even a fixed number of personnel is growing, rising health care, cost of living adjustments, so on. But when you're adding personnel in these quantities, the overall funding allocation is going to be put under a great deal of stress. I don't think that funding allocation is going to increase a great deal. We're going to have some challenges here to find additional resources, perhaps to stretch what we've got further. Force multipliers include technology, of course. They may include some public-private partnerships, but Congress has basic responsibility for this, and we're going to have to find the funds so that the personnel costs are met. We need the personnel. We got to meet the costs, and we got to do it without decimating the rest of the budget.
And that was my takeaway from your comments at this hearing, sir, that this is they're not asking for enough money, or Congress is not in a position as the numbers stand today to give them enough money to balance all of this. Was that a fair takeaway on my part?
Yes. It kind of sets our agenda, though. I mean, I'm not throwing up my hands and saying it's impossible. It's going to have to be addressed, and that will require us, I think, to be very very calculating in the personnel that we ask for, and that we also give attention to the funding needs that follow that, and also to some of these efficiencies and force multipliers that we can build into the equation.
Commissioner Kerlikowske told you about some of his technology programs and said that they are cost effective. Did you agree with his position and his description, sir?
I'm hopeful about doing a better job with that. We all know that we have the poster child at CBP for the opposite of the cost effectiveness we're talking about, namely the SBINet program a few years ago. That was a good example of how not to procure new technology. And the CBP didn't do enough to verify that the technology wouldn't work as billed. Now, we're taking a different approach. We have a new Office of Technology Innovation and Acquisition at CBP. We have this integrated fixed towers project, which is perhaps a good point of comparison. It did take a different approach. There's been much more attention paid to verifying that the technology can pass the test of the end users, which are, of course, the agents in the field. We don't know yet whether the integrated fixed towers will be a good technology investment, but from what I know about the process so far, I'm hopeful. I think we are improving on our analytical and assessment capabilities.
What is your sense of what's driven that? Because we covered SBINet exhaustively on this station, and we're able to document some of the acquisition challenges there, and I wonder what has changed in your view at CBP to give you the confidence that you're expressing.
Well, the integrated fixed towers is I think, an immediate example. It's in some ways, a less ambitious, less comprehensive plan at the front end than SBINet was. That's probably a good thing, given our experience with the SBINet, to take this a little more incrementally. But I also think the process is much improved. I hope the lessons have been learned. I'm hopeful about this process that we're engaged in right now.
What is your sense of the public-private partnerships that Commissioner Kerlikowske talked about? Do you think the agency is well-equipped to enter into those kinds of partnerships, and are the things that they want to use them on appropriate for an agency like CBP?
Well, I had some skepticism at first. I don't think it's the ideal way to operate, but I think it's probably going to be necessary, and the agency, if it's not equipped to do this in every particular, is going to have to develop that capacity. I mean, after all, we're talking about a workforce staffing model last year that calls for 4,000 additional officers and ports of entry. 2,000 of those are in the 14 bill, going to be hard-pressed to pay for any more through appropriations. So they're going to have to be some fees or other revenue sources or maybe these reimbursable agreements, the public-private partnerships, or some combination. We have had some pilot efforts here, a limited pilot program in the fiscal 13 bill, and now the authority in the fiscal 14 bill, the current bill, is a bit broader. We didn't limit the number of agreements, and we added donation authority. That would allow CBP to accept donations of property or facilities at ports of entry. So we're going to need to go down this path, I think. I want to do it with due caution. We need the pilots. We need to understand the requirements, how to plan for and evaluate, report on the use of this authority. We're not yet convinced they need to be widespread. But in this fiscal environment, I just don't think we have any choice but to explore it.
I want to go back to the personnel costs for a minute, please, Congressman Price. The quote that I jotted down from the hearing was you saying personnel salaries and benefits now make up nearly 72% of your budget compared to only 56% just 6 years ago. That parallels what we're seeing at other federal agencies. The Department of Defense is struggling with this issue in particular. Have you seen another agency tackle this personnel cost problem successfully in a way that CBP could use as a model?
I'm not sure that I know of a ready parallel. And you talk about how this is a problem across government. And, of course, the reduced resources is a problem across government. But what's striking about CBP is that we're not talking attrition here. We're talking about adding personnel. We're talking about adding both the Border Patrol agents and customs officers. And the ones we've added probably aren't enough, especially on the customs front. So we're not talking about a kind of easy strategy of attrition that might reduce these costs. These costs are going to go up, and so it's a question of containing the costs. It's a question of finding some measures that can help us deal with technology and the public-private agreements or whatever it is that that represent force extenders. And then there are hard questions for Congress in terms of the money we're going to make available.